Ah, yes. Thanks for joining us. It was 8 o'clock when I started that music, I promise. It was 8 o'clock when I started it. Make sure we have the chat going. Good. People see me? People see the chat? I want to make sure the chat's up because that makes it a lot more fun for me. Hope everybody's doing great. Just getting the chat up here real quick, and then we will get things going. As it is a Monday morning, and we're gonna have a great time had by all. As enjoyed the weekend. Hope you did great as well. And I think we have the chat. There we go. There's live chat. That's what I need right there. There we go. We good. I'm glad everybody can hear. Glad everybody can see. Happy Monday. Hope you are doing tremendous. I got a lot to get to. We start with some social media stuff and an update and all those kind of things. But thank you. Always the first thing that we do here. John Lund, Unleashed podcast, YouTube channel, all sorts of social media stuff. By the way, I joined everything. And we're going to get fast to sports because you don't want to mess with this stuff. But as you can see right there, I've joined about every social media you can. And so I'm on just about everything. If you go to @JohnLundRadio, it's the best way to get to me. And less, like I said, to the police or the IRS. But YouTube, podcast channel, Blue Sky Now, already on Twitter. Facebook, I relented. Hadn't been on Facebook in years. Instagram, Threads, et cetera. So I'm on all those things. Any of those places you want to hang out and see, I'll post a bunch of stuff on there. But first and foremost, just really appreciate you hanging out, especially on a Monday. We have an absolute boatload of things to get after. And I got some great stories from not only over the weekend, but in the middle of the night, and people were hitting me up and everything. And we just had... It's had a great time. If you came in on Saturday night when Willie Adames signed, we did a live chat on Saturday night. Right when I heard it, I'm watching college football, and my wife is sick of sports all day, and she goes, can we just hang out for a minute? No college football, because it started with Arizona State and Iowa State at 9, and I just watched everything throughout Georgia and Texas and everything late into the night, and SMU gets in over Alabama, and I'm not meaning to lead the show with college football because people are like, yo, bro, it's the Bay Area. But it was really cool, and then all of a sudden, I get hit like everybody does in the phone, and it's like, Willie Adames is going to sign. And it's like, I looked at it and went, sorry. It's like, yeah, I don't want to hang around you anymore anyway. Go do it. So for 2 hours, we hung out, and we hung out for 2 hours, and we talked about Adames signing, and I got more on that because Juan Soto has signed, and we got so much cool stuff going on. So I'll hit up the chat, but I just want to let you know, today, update. You see on the chalkboard there, if you're new to the show, the YouTube show, make sure you subscribe and tell all your friends and hit me up on social media and all those kind of stuff, because just because I end the show, and we'll go long today, as long as you want. I feel great on a Monday. We'll go as long as you want, but I'm doing stuff during the day, too. I like to post stuff. If you hit me up during the day, I'll try to get back to you as soon as I possibly can. So just a lot of great stuff going on, not only with this show, but you're going to be the benefactor of a lot of cool stuff, of a lot of us coming together, and it's going to be a whole heck of a lot of fun. But anyway, on the chalkboard today, update, social media, I just showed you the 49ers stars. They didn't get any help on Sunday, though. Seattle ended up winning in Arizona, the Rams, in that wild game against Buffalo, so they didn't get any help. So we're going to have to, after we praise the 49ers, which we should do, then we're going to have to sit back and look at the reality of the situation. My viewpoint has not changed on this year for the 49ers, but next year I still think they're going to be a factor, as Grendo had a nice game as well. That class that John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan and all the powers that be of the 49ers, tremendous job. So you got that going on. So we'll praise the 49ers as we should, but we'll look at reality, which is not great. The big story nationally, as you well know, Juan Soto goes to the Mets, and I got a great video that you can't miss of this guy going nuts, and I want to kind of go off on a little bit of a tangent. Nobody deserves you. You're not – they don't owe you anything. Like, if they go sign, it's like me or you. We go out to a job. We get a better opportunity or a better offer or whatever the case may be. There's no loyalty anywhere. I'm case 1A. I mean, the reality is Juan Soto went and did what he thinks is best. Yankees fans think they're the greatest ever. I know that Pop was saying when – Judge signed, it's the power of the pinstripes. It's like, sign wherever you want. Take as much money as you want. I don't really care about the money aspect of it. We're going to get into Juan Soto. We'll do a ton of that. But the main thing is that you want to talk about is obviously Willy Adames. To me, that's the huge story as the winter meetings start. We'll get some guests this week from the winter meetings. But real quick, and then we'll get real deep into this whole thing. For Buster Posey to not, this is the biggest thing to me, and you heard me say this on Saturday night, for Buster Posey to not get enamored with the pretty blonde girl that he can't obtain, like I used to do early in my life, I think I can get the beauty queen. No, you cannot. You cannot. Look at me. I can't get the beauty queen. Maybe you can. I cannot. So don't even go over there. Don't go over to that side of the room. Don't go to that side of the bar. Don't go over to that side of the dance. Whatever it is, just get what you can get. And so today, if Willy Adames is not a giant if Buster Posey waits to today. Farhan's like, I'm doing some fantasy football. I got some stuff I got to do. I'll get to Willy Adames. He would never be a giant because the Yankees would have pivoted. The Dodgers would have pivoted. The major market teams would have pivoted. And Buster Posey gave his love, I'm told, just went right to Willy Adames and said, we want you. You're our guy. You're not a backup plan like the Dodgers. You're not a backup plan like the Yankees. You're not a backup plan like the Mets. You're not the backup plan like the Red Sox. Those teams who were in on Juan Soto, they don't get Willy Adames because Buster Posey said, I'm going after that guy because when everybody else pivots, he's going to be the number one free agent on the market, and I'm going to get him first. Brilliant. So we'll get more into that situation and how smart that was. More on the winter meetings. And we have a Caboose pistol today that I know this guy is well known on the internet, but I just want to highlight it because it's so funny. So we got a great show. Hit me up right there, as a lot of people are doing in the chat. I just love it. And also at John Lund Radio on Twitter. That's the best place to get me. That's what I have in front of me right now. So during the show, if you hit me up, I'll be able to respond to that. So anything else I'm missing? I think I got it. By the way, one thing that somebody's bringing up in the chat room right now, is this good as far as time for you? Is 8 a.m. good? I like it because, you know, I like to get up early anyway, and I like to, you know, hit you in the morning. And then, you know, and you can rig it so your car can get YouTube as well, and we'll make it shortly how you can get it live. That's one of the problems with podcasting is it's taped, and then you throw it back. And look, I'm going to put this on a podcast, and you can listen to it throughout the day. So I just want to make sure that 8 a.m. is a good time for you because I'll put this back out and everything, but a big part of this game, YouTube, podcasts, all these kind of things, is making sure that enough people or most people or as many people as possible can listen, watch, so forth. So I'd love to get some feedback on that at John Lund Radio. If this time works for you, if this is good, you're in the chat now, and so it might be good for you, but I hope it is. But anyway, good to see Tacky, True Blue Forever. Kyle, thanks for coming in here. Like and subscribe. Yeah, I'm almost to 1,000, and this is my fifth show, so I think that's a pretty decent pace. I don't know. I don't know anything about this stuff, but it looks like it. Let's see. What else do we got? Anyway, I'm early for tomorrow. Marco, good to see you again. Bunch of people in the room today. If you're brand new, say hello to me. Cruise75, good to see you again. So everybody for coming in, thank you so much for coming in. And let's get moving. Let's get moving because you're like, dude, you've talked enough. Now let's get to some things. So one other quick thing I wanted to bring up. These kind of things make my day. You don't have to do it. It's just, it was in the middle of the night. So what happened was I was watching Chargers Chiefs. I conk out. I wake up like 1 a.m. Like I got a bunch of stuff to get ready for tomorrow's show. So I come into the studio and I work for 2 or 3 hours. It's 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. And then this dude sends me a note that says, hey, I love that I get to hear you. You've provided me with countless laughs over the years. Thank you, GL. I truly appreciate it, big dog. I mean, I can't tell you how much that means to me because this is why we do it. Honestly, I'm not making what I was making, you know, at KNBR or any of the other places I've done through 25 plus years of doing this. But at the end of the day, what this is allowing me to do is just kind of refocus and my love for doing this and everything. And so when you hear somebody say that over the years, you know, because that's what you try to do. I'm just trying to entertain people and laugh and everything and not take this too seriously and give you a break from all the shit that's going on in our world and all these different things. So it's just really cool. And it's not something you have to do, and I'm not begging for it or asking for it. I'm just simply saying that just made my day because that's what I've always tried to do over a long time in doing this is just laugh and give you a break and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, really cool stuff. Really cool stuff, and I really appreciate it. And I don't want that kind of stuff to go unnoticed. All right, the 49ers beat the Bears 38-13. Let's go over a few things. Let's do positive first. All right, let's just be really positive about the 49ers. So if you get any questions, comments, thoughts, I'm glad that 8 a.m. was working for people. Good morning, John. I'm glad that mornings are working for people in this time. But here's, let's kick it with the 49ers offense. And if you look right there, that's the biggest part of this whole thing right now, is offensively in the 38-13 win. Now, they get off to this great start and all those kind of things. But, you know, as bad as the season has been, and we're going to play a clip from Rap Sheet over the weekend if you missed it. There's Brock Purdy, 20-25, 325, two touchdowns. It's a rating of 145.4. I have been critical of Brock Purdy. There's no doubt about it. But great game yesterday from Brock. The draft class just keeps getting better and better and better. Isaac Garendo, 15 carries, 75 yards, 5.2 a carry, two touchdowns, had a long of 30. Seems like he can bust it every single time. And take note that the Bears' defense isn't horrible. You know, we get this thing in our head where just a team is awful. You know, that team's awful. But defensively, the Bears aren't awful. And so Garendo runs for 78, plus he catches a couple of balls out of the backfield for 25. And maybe somebody reminded Brock Purdy, hey, you can kick it out to the backs and they're going to do something. Garendo in open field. Remember, Garendo was a receiver for the most part in college, and he's just starting to learn how to play running back, which is huge. George Kittle, I'm going to tell you about a story about George Kittle in just a second. Six catches, 151 yards on six targets. And then Juwan Jennings continues his season when healthy, 7 for 90 and two touchdowns. So those are your stars of the game as far as the 49ers. Couple of things here. Garendo hasn't played running back for a long time, and much, I should say. Played wide receiver, as I said. He's got massive upside and 4.33 speed. George Kittle. So the thing I want to tell you about Kittle is, and he's just showing you, he's better than Kelsey. He's better all-around tight end. He's the best tight end in the league. He's going into the Hall of Fame. He's a great guy. He's always treated me absolutely golden from the time that he was a rookie to recently. And the thing, though, is you and I have talked about this a lot, even on the show, but we talked about it on KNBR as well. Brock Purdy's going to get a contract, and we're going to play that a rap sheet for you in just a second, that video of it that played over the weekend. If you missed it, I'll play it for you in a second. But when I talk about guys who may or may not be coming back next year, Ward's not going to come back next year because they signed Dima Lenore, and I think they think Green is going to be a guy, the second-round pick out of Florida State. Green is a guy that they think is going to be have some pretty decent upside. So there's one of those, that's that deal going on. And then I don't think that Javon Hargrave is going to be back. Greenlaw, we're going to see Thursday against the Rams. Not sure that he's going to be back long-term. So there's a lot of guys that you got to make decisions on because Brock Purdy's getting all that money and the team's getting older. And then George Kittle would seem to be one of those guys because George Kittle can be hurt just because of the way that he plays, the style that he plays. And I had heard those things over the last couple of years. There's no way. The kind of season that George Kittle is having this year, the kind of leadership that he provides in a different way, just leadership in terms of how hard he plays, how loose he is, how positive he is. He's the most positive guy. You have one of those kind of friends? It's like, dude, you're relentlessly positive. Stop. And within the organization, and you can relate to this. You don't have to be an athlete to relate to this. Within the organization, there are people who are like, dude, you're just too much because he's just all the time. He is on all the time. There are certain people who are on, and then you get away from them. I'm kind of like that. Papa's like that. I got a lot of friends in this industry like that. I remember one time I was producing a show, and I called Dick Vitale. Hey, Dick, you ready to come on the show? And he's like, yeah, I'm ready to come on the show. And I'm like, this cannot be Dick Vitale. I hang up. They pop him up into the studio. He's like, hey, baby! He's freaking out. I'm like, wow. So not everybody is on 24/7, 365. Kittle is. And it can be wearing within the organization. It can wear out Kyle. It can wear out guys. And so I just, over the last couple of years, because of the injuries, you and I talk about this all the time, the best ability is availability, and sometimes Kittle isn't available. And for that position, he's pretty highly paid. He's highly compensated. So Kittle, for me, was a guy, because I had heard this, was kind of on that list that when veterans start getting released by the 49ers, that George Kittle is going to be on that list. Not anymore. 6 for 151, and it's not just this game. It's the way that he's hung in a tough season this year. He's banged up. He's hurting. He just is. He's blocking as well as ever. He's catching the football as well as ever, breaking tackles, running in the open field. I mean, he's getting better. So he's a guy that's not going to be gone. And then Juwan Jennings, 7 for 90 yesterday. If they would have known that Juwan Jennings was this good, and they didn't, Brandon Ayuk wouldn't have been re-signed because they drafted Ricky Pearsall. I know that Pearsall has generally disappeared. He's a rookie. That's what happens with rookies. But next year, throw Ayuk out just for a second. And I know Debo didn't have a game yesterday, a good game. What, he ended up 5 carries for 13 yards? They figured that running thing out, Kyle, just so you know. What is it, 2 catches, 22 yards? He didn't do much. So he's going to be gone. But Ayuk to that big deal, if they'd have known Juwan was this good, they would have just traded him and gotten picks. Juwan Jennings can be a number one receiver, even though he runs a 4.7 plus. His positioning, it's like a basketball player rebounding. I'm telling you stuff that you already know. But yesterday, Purdy, Garendo, who has upside that makes that draft class look absolutely great. Kittle, the way that he's playing, and Juwan Jennings continually stepping up. Debo will be gone next year, but Juwan Jennings, Ayuk, hopefully Pearsall, they're going to bring back Kittle. When you hear those names and then you hear the national media going, they're dead. They are dead. All right, well, the guys I just mentioned, plus Brock Purdy, they're going to be 3 deep at running back. They're going to lose Elijah Mitchell, who's been out all year, so you don't really know. But when you're looking at CMC, Mason's going to come back, and looking at the upside of Garendo with the receivers I just mentioned, Kittle playing as well as he is, Brock Purdy's going to get re-signed. This team isn't dead. This year they're not going to make the playoffs, and we'll get into that in just a second. But this team is not dead. You start looking at the team yesterday, and you go, not bad, not bad. Let's go to the defensive side of things, and then I'm going to get out to some hits on the chat line. So stay right there. If you got something for me, let me know. Now, defensively yesterday, 7 sacks, 7. Now, again, the Bears offensively are challenged. They have an okay offensive line. Not bad, not great, but okay. Youtor Gross Matos, 94 in your program, 3 sacks. A couple of were covered sacks, but 3 sacks. Give it up to him. Leonard Floyd's been interesting. He gets 2 sacks, and again, they get 7 as a team. And they talked to Leonard Floyd afterwards, and he's a great guy. I spoke with him quite a few times. Pop and I had him on right after he signed, and he's got 8.5 sacks. So you look at 8.5 sacks, and you think to yourself, "Hey, he's pretty good." It just hasn't felt impactful. Maybe that's stupid of me, but it's like, oh my God, he has 8.5 sacks. And with Bosa out, it's even tougher and more of a challenge. But 7 sacks defensively for the 49ers yesterday. And the yardage-wise, let me go down to this. Impress your friends with this. Look at yards at the half yesterday. For the love of God, man, look at that. At the half yesterday, it was 310-2. 310-2 at half as far as yards were concerned. The Niners blew them out early and often. And then real quick, some team stats to give you for the 49ers. And so if you watch the preview show, I did a preview because I talked so much Willie Adames on Saturday night that people are like, hey, dude, you're going to talk any Niners? I'm like, the greatness of this forum now is you just talk what's hot. Like, if the 49ers are a good topic, I'll talk to the 49ers. But if they're not, I'm not going to talk about them at all. I told you, money downs. I said the money downs defensively, offensively, the 49ers had been terrible all season long. You get third down efficiency right there, 6 of 12, 50%. They had been terrible. Total yards I just gave you. So it went 310-3 at half, 452-162 in total yards. Sacks, I said 7, but then here's the big one. Red zone, and we've talked about this all season long. Christian McCaffrey's going to fix the red zone. Well, not so much. But they went 5 of 6 in the red zone yesterday, 5 of 6. And I'm talking scoring touchdowns. So then the Bears did go 2 of 2 because the Niners' defense has been so bad. But still, you look at those team stats, and they're pretty impressive as far as the 49ers are concerned. Okay, I'm going to take those off the board in 3, 2, and 1. All right, let's get back to reality as far as the 49ers get. Because let's have fun, right? We don't want to go to reality. By the way, I quit coffee today. That was real smart. I mean, I'm drinking a sugar-free Red Bull. My wife's like, I told her, I go, no, I'm gonna cut coffee out. I'm going to be healthier. I'm going to do better. And then what do? I run out this morning and then get a bunch of sugar-free Red Bull because it's like crack. I got to have something. All right. do you know how many broken TVs there were in Chicago yesterday? Kyle says, they should be used to it by now. I mean, I like Caleb Williams. He's eventually going to be a good player, but they haven't been good forever. I have an autographed Debo helmet. His play is declining. Yeah, he's going to be gone. And I got nothing against Debo personally. It's just, I don't know. Too many hits. You know, he's not done. I mean, Debo's not even 30. But the reality is that the style that Debo plays, and he combines that running back and wide receiver position, and he's not the greatest of route runners. It's just, you know, he's going to take a short pass and he's going to run you over. So even though he's a wide receiver, he's actually a running back in terms of his build, and I think that it's just taken its toll on him. He's gotten banged up, and I just don't think that he's a guy. And then, you know, you look at the contract as well, and he knows. So one thing I'll give Debo a ton of credit on, he knows that this is his last season here. He knows he hasn't been productive. He knows that he's too expensive on a team that is scrapping for money, especially when Brock Purdy gets paid, and he's been a professional. I give him a ton of credit. Breathing air is unhealthy. You're right. Black coffee. Yeah, I do like black coffee, by the way. I'm not one of those people that has to put 90 things in and whipped cream on the top. We wonder why we're – never mind. I'm not going to get into why we're obese as a country. That's not going to do anybody any good. But when you see somebody walk out of a Starbucks with like 3 pounds of whipped cream on the top, come on, bro. What are you doing? what are you doing? Let's see. What else do we got in the chat today? Let's see here. Lorenzo Neal. Is there a Lorenzo Neal sighting? Somebody mentioned some Lorenzo Neal. Yeah, there is some dead cap around. Yeah, you're right, John. Coffee is better than Red Bull. I'm an idiot. I won't drink coffee, which is pretty natural, right? Just black coffee. Go out and get a Red Bull that's full of chemicals. Die early. Too much soy. So anyway, all right, let's move on to some other things. Now, look, this is just the way it's going for the 49ers, and I promise we'll get to some Willie Adames and have some fun here. But here are your playoff standings, and this is reality. So they beat Chicago 38-13. Everybody's feeling good. I just showed you the offensive stars, and more so I showed you that to say this national thought that the 49ers are dead. Look at these guys. Look at this draft class. This year it's been horrendous. There's been injuries, weird stuff, but that doesn't mean that's the way it's going to be. But if you start looking, and that's just the NFC there, you know what the Lions are going to do. The Niners are going to play them. The Eagles, Seahawks now third. Bucks won yesterday. Vikings are 11-2. Sam Darnold played well. The Packers, Commanders. But then you look at the bottom. Would you ever thought in a million years the 49ers would be 11th? 11th? I don't care about the injuries. Rams won yesterday. Falcons lost to the Vikings. Cardinals lost to the Seahawks at home. And then you see the lonely 49ers at the bottom there. So that's really the reality of it, of the playoff picture. And then to just kind of take that a step. Nobody likes a quitter, John. That's a good point. And then you look at my fancy graphic there where this is what I'm projecting. And again, when I project things, they horrendously go wacky and they don't work out. So this is another thing where you can say, Lund, you're insane and you're stupid, and hit me up at John Lund Radio. Hit me up in the chat. Any of my many social media places that I've just told you about. So this is my projection. This is no one else's projection. We'll see what happens. Generally wrong. But the Seahawks are 8-5. Green Bay, Minnesota at Chicago at the Rams. I think they're going to go 10-7. That's 2-2. I think they'll beat Green Bay at home this weekend. Probably not. I think they'll lose to Minnesota at home. Probably not. At Chicago, we just saw with the Bears. That doesn't give me a lot. And then they don't play well at the Rams. So I'm going to go 10-7 for the Seahawks. The Rams get that win over Josh Allen and the Bills yesterday. That was crazy. So they're at 49ers on Thursday. Niners get that win at the Jets. I gave them a win. My God, Aaron Rodgers. What a joke. What are they, 3-10? Then you got Arizona and Seattle. I project them to 10-7. And this is what you care about. Now, let me know here. What do you think? Am I wrong in this projection for the 49ers? 6-7. You got the Rams are going to win that 7-7 at the Dolphins. You're going all the way across the country. Here's where you're probably going to disagree with me. You're going all the way across the country, which is not easy. And Tua's looking pretty decent. They beat the Jets. It did take overtime, and they were at home, so maybe I'm wrong here. I have them as a loss there, so 7-7, 7-8. Detroit at home. Detroit's just going to be chomping at the bit, right? That's my thought, is that Detroit's going to be like, we want revenge. It's not going to bring back the NFC Championship game, but they're going to go pedal to the metal. I really think that's going to be a difficult one with all the injuries. So what is that? Turns into 7-8, right? 7-9, whatever that is. Yeah, 7-9. And then at Arizona makes them 8-9. I think they win at Arizona. So 8-9. That's not going to get it done, clearly. And then Arizona's 6-7. They've got the easiest schedule. New England, Carolina, give them 2 wins. That's 8-7 at the Rams. I think they lose, even though they blew out the Rams earlier this year. Niners, I think they lose that one. They go 8-9. So what do you think of my projections there? And I know I'm being a bummer on a Monday because I feel, you know, great game. I pointed out all those guys. Defensively, look what they did with 7 sacks. And Grendel was good. And Jennings was good. And Kittle is good. And Kittle's not going anywhere. And all this kind of stuff. And then, Len, you got to bring back reality. I apologize. So if I'm on crack and you think that this is crazy that I'm projecting these things that I'm projecting, then let me know. But what do you think? Is that a bad projection right there? Seattle 10-7, Rams 10-7. I don't know what their tiebreakers are. All you care about is the Niners 8-9. Maybe you're already into, you know, the draft and where that would put them in the draft, because last week we got into, you know, Tankathon. You go to Tankathon very often? You go to Tankathon. And you look at the whole thing, they're like, I'm already into next year. So, great win. I'm looking at more individuals than I am the team at this particular point. You know, I'm excited about Grendel. I think that Jennings is getting better and better. I like that Kittle's going to be around. Believe me, there are a lot of people within that building who get worn out by George Kittle and the injuries and what he costs, and people going, is he going to be on that cut list? And that's not me talking. That's not fandom. That's not Mike Florio. That's not somebody being, you know, projecting something. That's reality, but I don't think he's going anywhere, so that's good. Not a bad projected at all, John. We'll see. I'm usually pretty bad at that. I'm pretty poor at those. Here's some good news. Oh, so here's what I did, because this is what people tell you when you are giving criticism to someone or you're evaluating someone in a boss-type position. You give them a little good news, a little bad news, and you always end on a positive note. So that's what we did. We looked at the Bears game, 38-13, looking good. Look at all these guys who played well. Look at these young guys. Dot, 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 dot. And then I gave you a little bad news. Here's the reality. And now I'm going to end on a little good news. I think this is good news. Tell me if I am wrong on this one as well. This was Rap Sheet yesterday. This was before the game. And you and I have had a lot of conversations about Brock Purdy and what his future is. And I know that you and I are going to have a lot more conversations about Brock Purdy in the offseason, but he was great yesterday against the Bears. Here is Ian Rappaport before the game yesterday saying that nothing has changed in the eyes of the 49ers and they want Brock Purdy to be their long-term quarterback. All right, there you go. What am I doing? I'm like waiting for the video to end, and it ended, and I'm just standing there, sitting there looking at the camera. My stance hasn't changed. Brock Purdy played great yesterday. I'd like to see, you know, a few more things from Brock. You and I have had this conversation a million times. A good quarterback's going to get paid as much as a great quarterback because he's just the latest. But another thing happened, and I talked about this a little bit earlier on in the podcast/YouTube channel today. Sam Darnold had another great game. Now, if you listen to me on KNBR with any regularity, I'm not a Sam Darnold guy. He has all the physical tools in the chest that you need, but the mental side for Sam Darnold, like when I was at camp last year, it just wasn't clicking in for him, and that's really what it was. And I'm not saying Sam Darnold's dumb. It's just that the biggest thing that Brock Purdy gives you is his quick times in order to just, you know, he sees the field and it's out, boom, 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 boom. And that's really not Sam Darnold, even though he's gotten a lot better. And so this morning I was reading a piece and somebody actually made the case for Sam Darnold to be an MVP candidate. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. But this kind of applies to this whole Jared Goff thing that I'm always telling you about, because Jared Goff has had everything perfect. They've played the majority of their games inside. Of course, they play inside for their home games, but also a lot of the road games. I think only 2 times Goff has had to go outside. He's got all the weapons, and therefore, Jared Goff, who's a good, not great quarterback, and has gotten paid like a great quarterback, can look like a great quarterback even though he's good. Does that make sense? Same thing with Sam Darnold. Look at Sam Darnold. Really good running game. Jordan Jefferson, yeah, he's fairly good. Jordan Addison, T.J. Hawkinson, pretty good offensive line. All of a sudden, it's like Sam Darnold can look pretty good. And he looked pretty good yesterday. So what's Sam Darnold going to make in the offseason? I would think that a team that the Giants and the Raiders are going to take quarterbacks where they are. The Raiders, I think, are now 2-11 after another outstanding performance yesterday. If you didn't catch that sarcasm. But So those they're going to take the quarterbacks, and then I think Darnold's going to make a lot of money, and I don't think he's going to stay in Minnesota because J.J. McCarthy out of Minnesota was a first-round pick, top 10 guy. So I think they're going to Minnesota's going to pivot to him, and then there's Sam Darnold standing there. Now, I know you're going to call me crazy and on crack and all those kind of things, but would the 49ers be better off with a, I don't know, $20 or $25 million Sam Darnold than a $50 or $60 million Brock Purdy? I'm just bringing it up. Don't throw anything at me. I'm just bringing it up because how many players can you sign with the difference in that money? Two or three? Can you keep two or three? Can you bring in two or three? Because the one thing about it is, and I've always had this thought, and I could be totally wrong. I'm just spitballing. Just throwing shit against the wall. Maybe I'm wrong. But if Kyle Shanahan is your offensive coordinator, and he's brilliant, and then you have all these weapons, I just told you, three deep at running back, Kittle's staying around. I think Pearsall's going to come through. Jennings looks like a number one receiver. They're going to let Debo go. Ayuk's going to come back. The thing for me, and I've been saying this and preaching not only on KNBR, but here, offensive and defensive line. Trenches, 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 trenches. That's what the 49ers do. When they are winning at a high level, they are punching you in the face. And these teams who are much better this year, Philadelphia punches in the face. So does Detroit. The Rams are trying to do that. The Seahawks are trying to do that. Imitation is the greatest form of flattery. And so with the 49ers winning and winning and winning, and everybody looked at them and said, you know what? We got to punch people in the face. And it starts in the division. So the Rams up their offensive line. Seattle's offensive line stinks. But Mike McDonald's a defensive guy. They fortified their defensive line. They traded for a guy in season, Robertson from the Jags. They drafted Byron Murphy in the first round out of Texas. So their teams are trying to punch you in the mouth in this division. And the better teams are starting to punch you in the mouth all around the NFC because they watched the 49ers punch them in the mouth forever. So the 49ers have to get back to that. I'm not saying Brock Purdy isn't great. I'm not saying that I'm down on Brock Purdy. I keep saying that over and over again, so I apologize. But I'm looking at a Darnold going, man, if you sign him for a few years at $25 million, and I've kind of done a flip on him because Papa was sitting there going, Darnold, Darnold, Darnold. I'm like, I don't like Darnold. I just don't. I don't like his mental side. Physically, yeah. Physically, there was a reason why he was the third overall pick. Physically, there was a reason why Brock was the last pick. Mr. Irrelevant, but Brock's got the brain that Sam Darnold doesn't. So I'm not sure if I would trust it. I'm simply saying that if the 49ers want to get back to dominance on the offensive and defensive lines, they have to dedicate it through the draft, and they probably have to go out and get a few guys as well. Trent Williams isn't going to play forever. We know what the defensive line has been doing. I know they got seven sacks yesterday, but you know, they get Bosa back. But to me, it's the interior of the defensive line, and then I'm worried about the tackles long term. Banks isn't the answer at guard. Obviously, Brendel isn't the answer at center. So that's a lot of guys that you got to get. Can you pay Brock Purdy all that money and still fortify those lines to the level you need to be the team you used to be? Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm on a crack. I'm okay with that. At John Lund Radio, make sure that you hit me up. John Lund Unleashed. We do this daily at 8 a.m., or excuse me, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m., Saturday and Sunday. I'm sleeping in. Although, like we said, Saturday night, we did a huge two-hour thing on Willie Adames Live. We were drinking whiskey. We were partying. We were having a great time because, my God, Buster Posey signed the guy? All right, we're going to get into that next because that is the huge story along with Juan Soto signing with the Mets. But make sure you're following. Make sure you're telling your friends. Make sure you're subscribing at John Lund Radio. Please make sure. And that would be very, very nice. Let me get back to the chat line for a minute. What's everybody up to? Tacky, Saturday night was fun, Tacky. I'm telling you, I was so jacked up. Afterwards, it was about 8 o'clock, and my wife thought I was going to be gone like 15, 20 minutes. She goes, well, how long are you going to be gone? I hope she's not watching or listening. But it's like she didn't want me around, but then I did 2 hours, and then she was mad at me. I'm like, I cannot win. You got to be kidding me. yeah, I'd hate to root for the team that broke off $60 million for Dak. Tacky, you're right. I mean, I guess that's what I keep saying. I keep saying that, man, I'm looking at Dallas going, Dak's not a bad quarterback. He's had some bad injury issues, but they give him all that money, and then Jerry Jones says, I can't afford anybody. So they have no running game. They need to start over. They give Lamb a bunch of money. They give the quarterback a bunch of money, and then they can't afford anybody. And that's what I'm looking at here is I'm saying, okay, they're giving receivers money. Even with Debo leaving, they gave Ayuk $30 million. They're going to give Brock Purdy $50 or $60 million. And teams, as I said, teams get in trouble when they give good quarterbacks great money. Problem is, I think there's only two great quarterbacks in the league right now. Josh Allen, and if you watch that Rams-Bills game, that was ridiculous, and Mahomes. And again, the Chiefs just pulled one out of the fire last night against the Chargers. Matthew Wright, by the way, former kicker for the 49ers, doink! Doinks it off the upright, but it goes in because that's what Kansas City does. And they end up beating the Chargers last night. But it's just, I don't know how much longer the luck can go for the Chiefs if they can just do this all season long. But it's like, that's what they do every game. Crazy. All right. What else we got up here? Saturday night, crack. Hey, Michael, good to have you, man. Say hi. Any questions, comments, thoughts, I'd love to hear from you. Who else do we got in here? Very cool. All right, let's get to the big thing that you want to get to, because I've wanted to talk about this since 8 o'clock when we started all this kind of stuff, and that is some baseball stuff that's been going on. You know this by now, but there it is, Juan Soto to the Yankees. The Yankees lose one. By the way, this is the way New Yorkers think. New York Daily News. It's not the Mets get Juan Soto. It's the Yankees lose Juan Soto to the crosstown rival. Mets as superstar takes 15 year 765. Sorry, I was choking on my Red Bull. $765 million deal. I'm just gonna let that sink in for just a second. My God, man, 15 for 765. You should, if you get $765 million, you should never make an out, and you should hit home run almost every single time you're up. A couple of things in the Juan Soto deal. I'm desensitized to money. I don't know if you are, but I'm desensitized to money. It's like, whatever. It's just funny money. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's crazy. Whatever. Juan Soto's good. He's not Ohtani. He's not. I mean, he's a really nice player. He's won championships. He's been up since he was a teenager. He's a really nice offensive player. All those things. The problem I have, and this is not related to Brock, but it is to a certain extent. If I'm a general manager, and we're gonna kind of morph this into talk about Buster Posey, but if I'm a general manager, I will pay the players who I think are going to be generational talents and help me turn the turnstiles, help me win, do all those kind of things. They have to check off a lot of boxes, I think. And Ohtani checked off those boxes for the Giants a couple of years ago. Judge checked off those boxes. I mean, you know who I'm talking about. There are certain guys that are just that way that can change your franchise. I think Bryce Harper did that for the Phillies a couple of years ago. Juan Soto going to the Mets, is that going to change their franchise? Maybe. I mean, maybe it is, and maybe I'm short-selling Juan Soto. And I'm not bitter or angry or anything like that. I didn't think the Giants were ever going to get Juan Soto. I don't think they should have even went in the bidding for Juan Soto, which they didn't. Thank you, Buster Posey, which we're going to get into in a second, and why it's so awesome what Buster Posey did. Because he didn't chase Juan Soto, and while Juan Soto was being chased, all these other free agents went off the market, Farhan. Which, by the way, on Saturday night, I went into this thing where I kept sliding over and bashing Farhan, and I kept apologizing for it, and people were like, let's bash Farhan, and you're right. So let me get to Buster and Farhan and Adamas and what this means and the winter meetings and all that in just a second. But if you're offended by salty language, and this is pretty salty. I mean, this is a lot of salt. This is like when the lid is loosened, and you go to like a restaurant, some smart ass kid is loosened up the salt, and then you go to put it on your fries or something or your food, and the thing falls off, and there's just like mounds of salt, and you're like, really? this is salty language. So if you're offended by salty language, and maybe you're listening on the podcast later on, and your kid's in the car or something, just a minute or two. Because I want to play this, A, because I think it's funny, but also because this is just New Yorkers in a nutshell, Yankees fans, I should say, in a nutshell, because they think everybody should want to play there, and it's just not the case. So let me play this. We'll do a little rant, then let's get into Adamas. But here's pissed off Yankees fan after Juan Soto decides to take all that money to go to the Mets. Salty. 3, 2, 1. So if you're offended, if you just in the middle of that came onto the channel and maybe this was your first time going to John Lund Unleashed, you're like, what the? My kid's listening to this. Look, we all talk like that. I mean, again, this is one of the fun parts of being on this forum is just like, fuck. I mean, everybody, who doesn't say fuck? I mean, I say it a million times a day, and I'm still struggling with it because almost 30 years on the radio, and it's the weirdest thing, and I want to get into Soto. This is just a small tangent, and I'll get right back onto the freeway. But for all these years, it something in my head, like I'll get off the air. I mean, a second off the air, and I'll walk out, and I would talk to guys in the studio, and we're F-bombing and all this kind of stuff. But in that studio, having the headphones on, having a mic in front of my face, because I've been so programmed in my brain not to have, you know, no profanity, that I'm still kind of like, it takes me a minute. It's taken me a minute. But anyway, I would never, honestly, I would never, ever, ever. But now it's like, it's going to be weird because I've got some other things going on, but I'm going to always do this show, but I'm going to be back on, not terrestrial radio, so to speak, but other places where it's like, you know, so I'm a little bit afraid of it just because I'm going to go back and I'm going to be like, fuck. And it's like, whoa, dude. I'm like, sorry, I've been doing a podcast and a YouTube show. We can say whatever we want. So anyway, okay, let me go back to that for just a second. I know a lot of times this is for comedic purposes, and I know that that guy's a well-known dude, and you got to decide, you know, a guy breaks his TV. Like, who's doing that because it's just social media and you want clicks, and who's doing that because they're pissed off? But I'm just going to use it for what it is. I know part of it is comedy and part of it is this, that. But that is how Yankees fans think. They think, why would you leave the pinstripes? We're the greatest. New York is the greatest city. I'm a West Coast guy my whole life. I did live east. Like I said, I think I'm kind of an expert in this. I worked in Pittsburgh. I worked in Detroit. I worked in Dallas. I just kind of, there's a certain way you can go in this business. You can stay in one place and grind there and climb that ladder as I'm doing that. And then, or you can go all over the country and chase different jobs and try to grow your career like that. I did the latter. I don't know that I would ever do it again. And I'm certainly not going back east and freezing my ass off. My California blood is way too thin. So I'm not, no way, not ever doing it again. I'm glad that I did because my sports perspective is I understand East Coast people. The only place I didn't work is the South. Have I ever told you the story? Hit me up on the text line, because if I have and you don't want me to tell the story, I won't. I do have a really good story about almost my life almost ending on a stage because SEC football fans were going to kill me. I'm not kidding. They were going to take me down. Now, would I have actually died? Am I going a little too far on that? Am I embellishing somewhat? Maybe. But it was a big stage I was on, and it was about ready to go down. So there'd have been probably a major injury, you know? I think so. I think I would have had a major injury, but I've worked all over the country. I'll tell the story in just a second. But I've worked all over the country, so I have a pretty good sense of different sports fans. And I no offense to anybody, I love anybody. I don't care where you're from, east, west, midwest, south, not from the country, whatever, man. I get along with everybody. But there is an East Coast bias. There is a just all over the country. But there's a reason why. Like, when I lived in Detroit, it was cold and gray and bitter, and there was nothing else to do. So when the Lions lost, which when I was there, they went 0-16 with Rod Marinelli, and, you know, the Tigers won 43 games one year I was there. There's nothing else to do. So there's just, you're so pissed and bitter when it's over. They're into Michigan football and Michigan State basketball, and it's just such a big thing that when there's no more sports, it's like, what do we do? And in California, it's like, I don't know, we'll go drink wine or we'll go to the beach, or there's a million things to do. It's expensive as hell here, but there's a reason why. Because I walk, you know, we all walk outside, and the other day it was like 67 degrees, and it's almost mid-December. I mean, I was talking to my mom the other day. She traveled back. She had to. She didn't want to. She traveled back to Michigan because her boyfriend is from there. She's older, and there was 4 feet of snow. It's like, no. So they're bitter, and they're angry, and they're pissed off. So I'll try to stay focused here. But as far as Yankees fans are concerned, it's like, who wouldn't want to live in New York? Who wouldn't want to play for the Yankees? Who wouldn't want to play for the Pinstripes? Who wouldn't want? There's a lot of people. In fact, the majority of the people won't. So they have this attitude of, who wouldn't want to be on the biggest stage? I don't know. This is a pretty big stage in San Francisco. I mean, it's baseball's baseball. Because of the social media reach and the reach of everyone now, of you can play in Milwaukee, you can play in Minnesota, you can be as big of a star as you want to be and play for anybody. Like the days of LeBron James in the league being pissed off because he's in Cleveland and he's got to get out of there. Now he's a Laker, was in Miami. It doesn't matter where you are. You can be a superstar wherever. So to me, look, I just personally speaking, I wouldn't want to play for the Yankees. When Aaron Judge signed with the Yankees and Papa kept telling me it's the power of the pinstripes, I don't care. Like it wouldn't have moved me, but I get it. But not everybody wants to be a Yankee. That's just the way it is. Not everybody wants to be in a major market. And then the other side of it is when people get pissed off about where a guy decides to play, how do you know? Like you and I take a job, right? You and I take a job. Maybe it's at home, maybe it's not, maybe it's away from home, maybe it's like all these different things go into the decision that you make to further your career, or maybe to just say, look, I'm going to wind it down. Whatever the case may be, it's your decision. So when people like that get so pissed off, when Juan Soto says, I'm playing for the Mets, who's this guy? Oh, look at that. Why are you so angry, man? Relax. But that's an East Coast sports fan to me. West Coast, it's like, hey, man, we want to win. Maybe I'm wrong. We want to win. It's just if we don't, yeah, it's a big deal. But, you know, there's other things to do. What are you going to do when it's freezing ass in New York or Detroit or that's all you got? So that's why they're so angry. Pissed off guy. All right. here it is. This is from Saturday Night Willie Adames. Were you like me? Did you have to kind of double check? Like, is this real? Is this really real? But there's Jeff Passan with it, the blue check mark and all that kind of stuff. And there's a reason why I put Roky Sasaki up there as the third story there. But there it is. 7 years, $182 million. There's Willie Adames getting the deal from Buster and the Giants. So first of all, I'd love to hear what you have to say about Buster getting Willie Adames, how Willie Adames fits. I do have a lineup here. And I do have a great video that I'm going to play for you in just a second, so don't go anywhere. If you're going to go off to work or something, it's like, I got to go. Hang on. But there's a lot of different layers that are really cool about this. First and foremost, let's start here. Let's start with the baseball side of things, shall we? Is that okay? Let's start with the baseball side of things, and then we'll get into what it means for Buster, what it means for the Giants, and what they could possibly do at the winter meetings that start this week. So this is MLB.com. This is Major League Baseball tweeting what the lineup could look like with the Giants. And so Jung-Hoo Lee's at the top. He's unproven. Tyler Fitzgerald had a good year last year, but I'd like to see it again. Willie Adames hitting third. I like that. LaMonte Wade Jr. at first base. No, I don't want that. I want him to upgrade at first base. I want him to get some power. I know that Bryce Eldridge is on the way. I don't think it's wise to rush a 20-year-old through the system, not 23, 20-year-old through the system. LaMonte Wade Jr. gets hurt too much for me. I like him, but if they had a different kind of a lineup, maybe some more power somewhere else, I could live with him. I don't want LaMonte Wade Jr. at first base, let alone him hitting fourth. I love taking walks, but not for my four-hitter. Matt Chapman, that's fine. I'd rather have him in a six or seven spot. Mike Yastrzemski, I think I have made my opinion known on him. I think you need more out of right field. I'd love it if Yastrzemski was a fourth outfielder, came in for defensive purposes, you know, 350, 400 at bats. I don't want him to be my starting right fielder on a team like this. If same thing with LaMonte Wade Jr. If I had more on offense, I could live with Yastrzemski, but I don't. Elliot Ramos, is he first half Elliot Ramos or second half Elliot Ramos? Patrick Bailey, we know he's a great defender. No, not Grant McRae in left field. No. That's not enough hitting. So that's their projected lineup. That would not be my projected lineup. You want to take another quick gander at that and give me your thoughts on it at John Lund Radio or in the chat. So that's what MLB.com thinks could be their projected lineup. I don't. This is just the start. So from a baseball perspective, it's awesome. All right, from a baseball perspective, he's a middle-of-the-order hitter, 32 home runs, 115 RBIs, and from what we know, is a pretty good clubhouse guy. So let me play this video for you, and then let's talk more about Willie Adames, and let's talk about what this all means. There's a big picture component to this that you and I need to discuss today. But here is his former manager, Pat Murphy, who was recently on a baseball podcast / YouTube channel and loves himself some Willy Adames. The biggest, another thing to take out of this video that is kind of subtle but really not, is that the Giants are acting like a big market team. Milwaukee's a small market team. San Francisco's a big market team. I've said this before and I'll keep saying it. With the A's leaving, this is the single biggest market, single team in a market in baseball. Not New York, not Chicago, not LA. Those are all two-team markets. Fourth largest media market in the country is the Bay Area and San Francisco, and this is the largest single team market. So start acting like it. So Pat Murphy just says, we didn't have a chance, man. He's going to go to a major market team. So this is before Adames signed. All right, so there is Pat Murphy, the manager of the Brewers. So not only the stats we can see, right, the 32-115, et cetera, he's 29 years old, so he's in the prime of his career. But you just heard a couple of things from his manager. One on the player, loves him, loves his mental makeup. Baseball, it is so important. You know this, but I'll just remind you. In baseball, it's so important of mental makeup and the type of guys you have in the clubhouse and those kind of things, because you're together in that clubhouse 9 months a year. You're traveling. I know it's like that in the other sports, but you're practicing a lot of time and you're playing game after game after game, and you're going through what you're going through in terms of ups and downs on a season, and guys are having injuries, and it's a lot of time being together. Believe me, I've talked to a ton of guys. You already know that. So chemistry to me in baseball is more important than it is in any other sport. So when you look at the stats, and yeah, you can look at the analytics and all those different kind of got things. But when you hear his manager, Pat Murphy, there say, love the kid, love the guy, love the kid, that's something that's going to add. And again, Buster Posey knows this. This is why a baseball ops guy who's not Farhan Zaidi, and it's a guy who's actually been in a clubhouse and knows what chemistry is about, that's not a tangible. You know, you look at Farhan and his computer does not compute. No, he gets along in the clubhouse. Guys like him. He's a leader. Does not compute. Does not compute. And that's not a number. That's not an analytic. But it is important. And that's why getting Buster Posey in as president of baseball operations and bringing in guys who are scouts who actually go to games and see how a guy interacts and that's important in a clubhouse, more important than any other sport. So that's one. And then the other thing is Pat Murphy saying, hey, we're going to lose him to a big market team. Hey, the Giants are acting like a major market team. Okay, then let's move this conversation on to what it means for the Giants. First of all, the most impressive thing, and you and I talked about this on Saturday night when we did the emergency podcast / YouTube channel on Willy Adames signing with the Giants. Buster Posey, this is what I've heard, Buster Posey zeroed in on Willy Adames. He's also zeroing in on Corbin Burnes. So he went after both of them, but he made them both feel, and I have not looked at anything this morning, so I don't know that Corbin Burnes has done anything yet. So let me double check, and I am going to talk about Roky Sasaki in a second. Let me make sure that I'm not missing anything as you and I are sitting here. Nope, not missing anything. Because it is the winter meeting, so we're sitting there going, okay, what's going on here? Okay, nothing. But what happened was is that Buster Posey said, I'm not chasing after the big fish. I'm not going to chase after Juan Soto. I wouldn't have chased after, like, Aaron Judge, you got to chase after. He's a local guy. I totally understand that. All right? Totally understand that. But the Harpers and some of these guys and Giancarlo Stanton and all that kind of stuff, they were done for the wrong reasons. They were done to turn the turnstiles. The Giants weren't always in a position where they were saying, just get a guy because he's going to make us better. Mike Trout's on the Angels, has been there forever. You know this. And they're no good. So it doesn't matter. It's about getting a bunch of guys together. It's about chemistry. It's all these different things that it's about, which is Buster Posey's been there and absolutely knows it. So he didn't try to get Juan Soto. And then when Juan Soto, you know, told him no, which he was never going to have a chance to get, then he had to pivot. Well, what happened the last 2 years with Farhan when he had to pivot? And then he gets, you know, a bunch of scraps. None of the signings generally work out. Chapman did. You got to give it up to him. Snell to a certain extent, but he left. But 2 years ago when it was like Mitch Haniger and Ross Stripling and all that garbage, he got rid of all those guys. Jorge Soleri already got rid of that guy. Like, he panicked at the end and was like, oh my God, I got to get somebody. It's 2 a.m. The lights just went on at the bar and I got to get somebody and I got to take them home. Like, that's what he did. So Buster wasn't doing that. He's like, look, I'm not going to do that. I want somebody who's realistic. I want to show him the love. I want to go all in on him. And that's what got Willy Adames to be a Giant. Because Willy Adames wouldn't be a Giant today, and you know this, if Juan Soto signed, all of a sudden the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Red Sox, all these major market teams would then up their offers to Willy Adames. Willy Adames would not be a Giant. And here's the other thing. 7 years, 182 for Willy Adames, who's 29 years old in the prime of his career. That's a good signing. Let's go back to Carlos Correa 2 years ago. Sometimes it's the ones you didn't get. Carlos Correa was a 13-year, $350 million guy. And he failed his physical, and everyone, oh, my God! Well, guess what? You'd be stuck with that guy now at that number. Willy Adames for 7 and 182, yeah, that's ridiculous money. Everybody's overpaid. I loved it today when Juan Soto's overpaid. Everybody's overpaid in sports. Not everybody, but, you know, when you get to this level, it's silly. But 7 years, $182 million, I would have thought they would have had to overpay, give Willy Adames double years. I said that all last week. If they're going to get Willy Adames, it's going to be 10 years. It's going to be way more than anyone else would give him. But what Buster Posey did as a guy who's been there, look, man, you're our focus. Not Juan Soto, you. And so when Willy Adames, when all those other teams are like, if Juan Soto, we don't get Juan Soto, you're going to be our guy. It's like, no, it's human nature. Everybody wants to feel loved. Well, that's what Buster Posey did. Brilliant. Thank you. While Farhan's out chasing the player he can never get, Buster Posey went, this is the guy we want. Let's focus on that guy, and we're going to get him. And that's what they did. It also tells at an early stage of the offseason, other free agents were serious. You know, left side of the infield of Matt Chapman and Willy Adames, which is about as good as it gets. Tyler Fitzgerald, maybe at second base. I don't want Lamont Wade at first. Bailey's a good defensive player. I can live with that. There was a question up on the... Let me see if I can find it. There was a question up here. Tacky's got a... We can talk about Bellinger, Tacky, no problem. Somebody asked about... Who did you ask about there? I lost it there. Sorry. Lost my train of thought there. By the way, let's bring in a conversation on Bellinger just because we had it on Saturday night. I know that you probably hate Bellinger because he was a Dodger. I understand that. That hilarious throw he threw from, what was it, first base to third base, like 50 feet over his head. John Miller had that awesome call on it. But if you look at what Bellinger could bring to the table, first base, DH, outfield defense, you know, late in the game, you could put him in. I know that Jung-Hoo Lee is a pretty good defensive center fielder. Mike Yastrzemski's probably going to be back. He's in right. Bellinger could fill in one of those spots, super athletic. I've been screaming from the rooftops about athletes, 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 athletes. Athletes. Let me slow down. Athletes. And Cody Bellinger's athletic. So, look, his contract is $27.5 million next year. That might be too rich for Buster's blood. So maybe Bellinger isn't, but Chicago is looking. The Cubs are looking to either move Bellinger or Suzuki. That's another guy that they've talked about moving. I wouldn't mind him either. He's nice. So... there's a thought there, but let me go back to Buster for a second and where the Giants are. It sends a message at the beginning of the winter meetings that we're serious. Now, again, this move isn't going to have them catch the Dodgers, and it's not even going to have them catch the Diamondbacks or the Padres, but it's a sign, and they're not done. I know that for a fact. They're not done. That's why I kept checking my Twitter here, because I've heard Corbin Burnes is close, and then I popped up that Roki Sasaki thing, and let me do this. This is Mark Feinsand, who does a nice job, one of the insiders that you trust, and he said Roki Sasaki is going to be posted. He's 23 years old. I told you this last week. It's not going to be about money. He's going to choose where he wants to go. In fact, I'm looking at my Twitter right now. Jim Bowden, Roky Suzuki is now expected to sign with a Major League Baseball team between now and January 15th. And he hashtags Padres, Mets, Yankees, Red Sox, Rays, Cubs, Dodgers, Phillies. I know for a fact that the Giants are in on him as well. And they could not only get Corbin Burnes, who's going to cost you $200 million, but Suzuki's not a money grab. Suzuki's not going to cost you $200 or $300 million. If you're not familiar with it, he's 23 years old. You probably saw him at the World Baseball Classic. He's got nasty stuff. Still needs a little bit of refinement, but he can throw over 100 miles an hour, a bunch of different pitches, and he's just going to go to the team he wants. A couple of years from now, he could make that big Yamamoto money, but more and more of these Japanese players don't want to wait that long. They'd rather get over here. They know they can get endorsement money right away from Japan, and they can obviously live on that kind of money, make a decent living, and then in a couple of years, they can cash in. And they just want to bet on themselves. They cash in a couple of years, and then they make their big money. They're not obsessed as much with money right out of the gate as American players are. So Roky Suzuki, you could afford – so you got Adames. You could afford Suzuki and Burnes. Now, I don't know that Corbin Burnes, and I don't know that that's going to happen. If they got Corbin Burnes and they got Willy Adames, as greedy as this sounds, I still – wouldn't think that that would be enough in the offseason because we just showed you the lineup. Do I need to go back to that? I love that Willy Adames is sitting in the middle of that lineup, but I don't like Lamont Wade Jr. hitting fourth. Tyler Fitzgerald, maybe. I like Ramos. Oh, I know what I was going to do. Somebody had asked a little bit earlier about Ramos tailing off in the second half. He did. He deserved to be an all-star in the first half of the year, but he tailed off greatly in the second half. So it's not like he's a known commodity. He is to a certain extent. But still, he did it for basically half a year. Fitzgerald did it for three quarters of a year. So there's still questions in that lineup, and I love that they got Willy Adames and the message that it sends and all those kind of things, but they need to work more on that lineup as much as anything else. They got to get some more pitching, but they got to work on that lineup. So give me your thoughts on that. All right, we've gone over a lot today. A lot of Niners, a lot of baseball. Give me your thoughts. Let me get to the text line as well. What do you think? What do you think? What guy, is there a certain guy that you'd want the 49ers to go after, a certain person that they'd want to go after? Do you like this Suzuki idea? Do you want Corbin Burnes? That's where a lot of people are saying Corbin Burnes. Mike says, do you see the current Giants roster as being a top five base-stealing team? I'm glad, Mike, you brought that up, and welcome. Willy Adames stole 21 bases last year. So if you start looking at this thing, Adames is an athlete. Fitzgerald is an athlete. Matt Chapman is an athlete, very underrated base runner. Go to the outfield. Ramos, okay, as an athlete. Jung-Hoo Lee's an athlete. Mike Yastrzemski's an athlete. The one thing that I keep screaming and yelling about is you got to get more athletic in a ballpark like this. You play half your games in this ballpark, and for some reason, Farhan just never came around to the fact that you've got to make your team fit your ballpark. That's just what it is. I want him to get more athletic. So... But look, you got to love what Buster did. It sends a message. They're a major market team again. He went, is Buster going to be a guy who can close deals? I think so. And he knows that they're not done because that's what we keep hearing, that Corbin Burnes is a guy. And they're not running that lineup out there. That lineup I just showed that MLB.com did, they're not running that lineup out there. So is he officially posted, Parik Dapa? Is he officially posted? Yeah, I think that... All we can offer him is $2 million. Yeah, you're right, it's the international money. So maybe I'm wrong on that, but I have heard that the Giants have interest there. All right, let me get to a little bit of, this is a different caboose, and I was going to play the caboose pistol today. This goes back to something I said last week. You don't get credit for something that you said you were going to do. Honey, I almost bought you that diamond ring. Damn. Can I have sex? No, you can't. You don't get any credit for something you almost did. Man, I almost brought you a coffee this morning. Sorry. Almost got you a donut this morning. It makes you more pissed off, doesn't it? Like somebody says they almost got, it's like, pfft, almost? That's worse. Don't tell me you almost got me something. I want to hear that. Anyway, we went on that tangent last week, remember? All right. So for the caboose pistol today, you probably know this guy, but I don't know. I've just been obsessed lately with it. This isn't a traditional caboose pistol, but it is a caboose pistol nonetheless. So you see that guy, Steve Inman, right there? And you probably know who he is. MMA sports commentator, narrates random videos. You've probably seen this guy do a bunch of stuff. But for some reason, because it's the the Christmas season, and I probably watched this thing five times and just laughed my ass off every single time. And I can't, I don't know how much you do this anymore. But anyway, Steve's great. I'm going to play a clip for you in just a second. But I don't know if you do this. I mean, I'm a grown-ass man. Like, I shouldn't be like a kid and just, I come across certain things on social media or things like that, and I'll watch the videos over and over and laugh, and then I'll go to the next one, and the next one, and the next one. All of a sudden, I'm like 20 minutes in. Like, what am I doing? I have stuff to do. Like, I can't sit here and watch videos like my son does, who's 20 years old in college, and he's like, you know, he's taking all my money and doing all this stuff, but he's watching, or, you know, we got a seventh grader in the house around here. We got a freshman in high school around here. Like, they can do that stuff. They can sit in the room. They can laugh. They can watch YouTube videos and all that stuff. I can't do that. I'm a grown adult. I can't do that. But then I find myself doing it. So for today's Caboose Pistol, and again, there's Steve's, you should follow his page. If you're just, I guess it's because we need mindless stuff sometimes. You know, things aren't going great or whatever, the economy, you're pissed off. And you're like, I need a break. I tell my wife all that all the time. We'll watch mindless TV, stupid shows, whatever. For some people, it's sports. So sometimes you do need kind of an outlet. So anyway, I'm sure you've watched him, but if you haven't, and again, let's get into the Christmas season a little bit. And here's just a clip of it, but I find myself just watching his stuff and going, God, I need to grow up. But here you go. Am I sophomoric? Am I immature? Possibly. You can tell me. I'm using that as today's Caboose Pistol. I'll get back to the regular wacky stories tomorrow, but I don't know why that struck me. I think it was, I woke up in the middle of the night. I told you this at the beginning of the show. I was asleep. I was watching everything. I'd done a bunch of stuff all weekend long. And then I just, end of the Chargers Chiefs game, and watch after Matthew Wright, the former Niners kicker, doinks one in. And I fell asleep, and then I woke up like 1 in the morning, like, I got to do all this stuff. And then I found myself getting caught on these videos, and I'm like, stop. You got stuff to do. And like you said, who said that? I'm a man. I'm 40. Who did that? I got to give you credit for that. But it's like, come on, man. I can't be doing this stuff, but still. And then it was like, you know, grandma got ran over by a reindeer. It's the holidays, you know, that kind of stuff. So anyway, that's how I was. Mike says, Burns than Vlad. You know, I read a thing on Vlad this morning, and if you're with us on Saturday night when we did the breaking news YouTube show / podcast on Willie Adames signing, we all were like, okay, who's next? Who's next? And we're throwing names against the wall. How much fun is that, by the way, as a fan? Like, your team is actually relevant and signing free agents, and then therefore you can go into this conversation and be like, could we get this guy? Could we get this guy? We get this guy? Somebody tweeted out today, one of the baseball insiders, one of the many on social media, with Juan Soto getting his outrageous, what is it, 15.765? Is that what it is? 15.765? Let me go back to that New York. Is that what it is? Yeah, 15.765 deal. That the biggest free agent next offseason is Vlad Guerrero. And I thought Vlad was older. He's 25. So I doubt that, you know, maybe there's going to be somebody midseason or something like that that might trade for Vlad if Toronto's out of it. But we forget oftentimes because it's up in Canada. I don't know if you've ever been up to Toronto. It's awesome. Toronto's a major market team. They were going after Juan Soto. They're not Milwaukee. You know, they're not Minnesota. They're not going to just sell off guys because they get expensive. Now, if they're not very good, they might sell off Vlad Guerrero. But Vlad is going to get the bag. And I'm not saying he wouldn't come here, but I'm simply saying that would you trade for him with 1 year left on his deal? Would you have to work out a deal for Vlad? That's what I'm talking about. But then you're going to have to include Bryce Eldridge. And if you know me at all, I'm not afraid of doing those kind of things. Too many GMs, too many fans, like, they want to hoard prospects. Part of the reason you have a minor league system is so that you can trade those guys. You identify the guys you want to keep. And you trade the guys that can bring you value. And 9 times out of 10, I tell you this all the time, 9 times out of 10, the team who gets the best player wins the trade. 9 times out of 10. I know that there's Zach Wheeler situations. I know that you know, you can go through the years and there's certain guys. And I was like, ah, we shouldn't have traded that guy. But most of the time, it's like, who were those guys? Who was that guy? Why'd they trade that, huh? So most of the time, you win the trade if you get the best player. That's all I'm saying. But Vlad's 25, and he's going to get the major bag next season. Now, is he worth it? Let's go back to what I was saying earlier about the type of player that you want. If I'm going to pay somebody that kind of Juan Soto kind of money, he's going to be the guy on the field. He's going to be the guy off the field. He's going to turnstiles. He's going to ratings. All, you know, he's the American Idol. He's everything. If I'm going to pay that kind of money, I'm going to go double-digit years, all that kind of stuff, you're American Idol. There's not a flaw. That's just how it is. Now, I know you got to overpay for guys, but I don't look at Adames as an overpay. I'm saying if I'm going to go out and get the number one guy in the market and I'm going to pay all that kind of money, you know, Vlad's not a great defender. Played third, now he plays first. DH is a lot. That's not the kind of guy I'm going to give that kind of money to. I'm looking more, as far as the first baseman is concerned, I'm looking like a year or two. Can I get a year or two if Eldridge is supposed to be all that? You know, Christian Walker's name has been brought up. We were just talking about Bellinger, somebody like that. Don't get me wrong, though. I'd love a, they need a first baseman. They need some power out of the first baseman. Mike says, agree with you on Vlad. Love that song. Let's see. What else do we got? Tacky. Man, it's good to see everybody, by the way. Just make sure that you please spread the word. Let me know at John Lund Radio. Let me know if 8 a.m. is good for you. I want to make sure that we're doing this to the best of our ability around here. So 8 a.m., if it works for you, let us know. I always repost this. So I repost this show on the YouTube channel at John Lund Talks Pod. And then also, we got a podcast going on. So if you didn't know we had the podcast, it's simple. It's at John Lund Talk. Same kind of a thing. You can get the podcast wherever you get your favorite podcast, Spotify, Apple, blah, blah, blah. You can get it wherever you get your podcast. So we also post this in a podcast version. So if you missed any of the show today, I'll post it in just a few minutes right after the show. And then you can listen to it at your heart's content. So however you want to do that is absolutely fine. My wife just opened the door, and my dog's bothering me if I seem distracted. But I am a professional, and I will not be distracted. All right, give me your thoughts on anything that we talked about today. Remember to follow all of my social media, at John Lund Radio, all those kind of things. I told you I had to go all in on everything. So that's what I'm doing. I got all the social media. I joined all of them, even if like some of them I was like, what the hell, YouTube? The podcast page, of course, Blue Sky, Facebook, Instagram, Threads, blah, blah, blah. So make sure that you check out any of those. Whatever is best for you, that is fine. But make sure you hit up the YouTube channel, at John Lund Radio. When news breaks, so this is huge this week to know, when news breaks, we'll break right in. So if it's middle of the afternoon, jump on the channel. If it's at night, jump on the channel. We had a great time. I know Tacky was there and a number of you guys were there. On Saturday night, we had a great time with the signing. When we got word that Willy Adames was going to be a Giant, so that was very, very cool. So make sure that you jump in, because we had a great time. People are shooting whiskey. It was awesome. What a great time. So anyway, make sure all day long, not just 8 o'clock in the morning. And if that time works for you, let me know. Thanks as always. Thanks for hanging out. We had a great time. Oh, by the way, I was going to mention, if you listen to the Krug or if you watch the Krug show, I go on the Krug show every Monday. We will have the collaborations. I know I keep saying that, but we're getting the guests together this week. And I will be on with Larry Kruger. We always have a great time talking Niners and other stuff. I've known Kruger for like 15 years. We used to live across the street from each other. So if you got any questions, comments, thoughts, you didn't get a question or comment in at John Lund Radio on Twitter or many of the social media places I just told you. Tell your friends, listen to the podcast, and you don't have to agree. I always say that. Have a great Monday. I really appreciate you hanging out, and we will talk at you soon. John Lund Unleashed.